Chapter 20. And while you're turning there, I would say I desire your prayers today. I thought about going back and getting my coat, and it wouldn't have been so bad if last night we went over to somebody's house, and same thing, we was in a big rush, you know. I came in, changed clothes, jumped in, you know, went out, and we'd been visiting a little while, and I looked down and I noticed I had on two different shoes. And so I don't believe that it's God's will for us to go in such a rush as we do. And I'm just as bad as anybody else, if not worse. But I'm praying the Lord's going to free us up here before long to be more what I feel like the Lord would have us to be. And I desire your prayers along those lines. But I want to preach this morning out of Matthew chapter number 20. It is Labor Day weekend, and I got to thinking about that. I don't always preach on themes, especially when holidays come along, but I did get to thinking on the subject of laborers. And I want to preach this morning on the subject of last-minute laborers. Last-minute laborers. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 1, and I'm going to read down through verse number 16, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. The Bible said, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. When they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour. And thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come today, and I want to thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that you've given to us, and Lord, for the opportunity to be in thy house today. Lord, I thank you for all your blessings. Lord, I thank you for the life that you've given us, and the liberty that we have, and Lord, the freedoms. Lord, the ability to come to thy house and worship in spirit and in truth. And Lord, to be able to do that today and not worry about anybody coming in or trying to shut us down or anything like that. Lord, just the freedom that we have, Lord, we take it for granted so many times. Lord, I pray you'd help me today as I stand. I pray for that unction from on high. I pray, Lord, for your help. I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to hearts and help us, Lord, in these last days to be literally laboring until we hear the call. God, I pray for that today. I pray, Lord, if there'd be anybody here today that's lost, I pray, Lord, you'd convict them and show them their great need of salvation before it's too late. Lord, we pray for that. Lord, I thank you for all you've done for us. Help just now. Lord, we have many objects in the church. We pray for each one, especially Sister Judy, Lord. We pray for her. God, we realize, God, that her health, Lord, she needs your help. Brother Norman, Lord, many others. Brother Glenn, Lord, we pray for him. We just had a lot going on in the church. I'll fail to mention somebody if I go on. But God, you know each and every one. We pray for your help. We ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. All right, as I've already mentioned, this is Labor Day weekend, and those of you probably realized this morning that Labor Day is not a holiday to labor on, but it's actually called, it's actually to take a day off. And it was started well over 100 years ago in this country to celebrate the contribution of the workers in our society and what they do and what they accomplish and how they contribute throughout the year. And so every year, first Monday in September in the United States of America, we celebrate what's called Labor Day, and it is supposed to be a day off for the laborers. And of course, like everything else in our country, it never hardly is mentioned what the true meaning of it is, but it's just another opportunity for retailers to make money. And so you got Labor Day sales and Labor Day this and Labor Day that. It's also the unofficial end of summer, and there's cookouts and barbecues and vacations and traveling and all of these things goes on Labor Day weekend. And we have, in fact, several today that are not with us because of being away on vacation and things of that day. But we also benefit because we have some with us today that maybe are vacationing and taking off some time from your place of labor and things like that. But from a spiritual standpoint this morning, I think about it when you think about the end of summer and harvest and all of these things. I think about what the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse number 20, where Jeremiah said this. He said, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." And I thought about this morning as I was studying, I thought about the good services throughout the summer that we've had. I thought about all the labor of Bible school and thought about mission trips and thought about these things, you know, and year after year and time after time, and we work and we labor and we have revival and things of that nature. And still, we look around this morning and, boy, there's still people needs to be saved. There's still work that needs to be done. And so we're still here today and we're still breathing and the Word of God's being preached. You know, there's still opportunity for salvation today. And so there's a lot of applications that we could make from that passage of Scripture. But I was studying Matthew chapter number 20, and a lot of people have preached out of this passage of Scripture down through the years and preached it a whole lot of different ways. But I got to thinking about the subject of last minute laborers. You see, they're all important, and they all have their place, and they all have a proper application in their context. Some people, you know, you preach this passage of Scripture, study this passage of Scripture, and they would say these laborers, they represent the different dispensations of time, and the ones that were called at the very first. You go back to Adam, and then Moses, and then, you know, a little bit later on, Daniel, and the first church, and then us, and, you know, all the different dispensations of time and the time frame, and those that have worked the longest and reaped the most and all of these things. And then others, they'll take it and apply it to the church period. And they'll say, well, these first laborers, they were what the Lord Jesus and the disciples, and then all down through the period of church history, the different people that have worked and labored in the field, and then we're here at the last. And you know, either way you look at it, we're in the end. We're in the last. I mean, it doesn't matter how you look at it today, but the way that I want to look at it today is from this standpoint, they all worked in one field. They all worked in one day. Some of them started early in the morning, and some of them didn't start till what you and I would be considered almost quitting time. But they all worked in one vineyard. They all worked in one day. But as I studied this passage of Scripture, I thought to myself, what's the use to work for just 1 hour? And that's what the ones that worked at the 11th hour, they just worked for 1 hour. What's the use to just work 1 hour? What's the use to go out and go to the effort to gather in somebody to work for 1 hour? What's the use to haul them out there to the vineyard or to the field or whatever the case might be? In this passage of Scripture, it was a vineyard. You know, there's literally, I do not believe any business that would hire anybody to work for 1 hour. Especially at the very end of the day. Who would go to all the trouble to get somebody just to work for literally 1 hour? What farmer would go out and if we brought it up to a modern day application and say a farmer needs somebody and would go to the trouble to go to the street corner, you know, you see that happening not so much around here, but in other places in our country, to go somewhere, find somebody, haul them out to the field and get them to work for 1 hour. I mean, you and I, we'd look at that and say, 1 hour's nothing. What's the use for just 1 hour's work? But nevertheless, here in God's Word, we see that God has a reason, and God had God had something for somebody to do, even if it was just for 1 hour. You know how fast 1 hour passes by. I ask myself the question, what good could possibly be done in just 1 hour? But nevertheless, God sees a need and gives us some reasons here in His Word for last minute laborers. And that's what I want to try to preach on this morning. First of all, I want you to see the largeness of the labor. If we're going to understand the need for last-minute laborers, we need to see the largeness of the labor. The Bible says there in verse number 1 of Matthew chapter number 20, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard." Now, the Bible doesn't say how large his vineyard was, but I imagine from this passage of Scripture and the effort to get laborers that evidently it was a very large vineyard. And what the Bible is talking about here is a period of time that really we're not too far removed from, where the majority of agricultural work was done with hands. People did it. People had to go out and had to labor in the vineyard and labor in the field and labor in the gardens and labor in the patches or whatever you want to call them this morning. But I think about this, and I never think about this, that I don't think about the time that we lived in the state of Idaho and where we lived. Literally, where we lived, the house that we lived in, we could go out and look in any direction and see mostly large fields. I mean huge. I'm talking about not, they don't even measure it in acres, they measure it in square miles. Everything is laid off in square miles, and where we lived, we could literally go 1 mile or more in either direction all around our house and see nothing but fields of beets and weed and hay and potatoes and all kinds of things like that. And I stood out there many, many times and looked over those large fields, and I thought to myself, my goodness, I'd hate to start across that with a hoe. But you know how our country came into being? By that very thing. Once upon a time, there was a lot of farm work had to be done in this country. I know not everybody, but some of you have driven across states like Kansas. How many has driven across Kansas? Not everybody, but some of you. You can go down, you can see something similar to that. You get out of these mountains. You know, living in the mountains, it's really hard to imagine to look across a flat mile, because we don't have one anywhere. But I'll tell you, it's a long ways. And you go across this country, you'll see hundreds of millions of acres that in times past men had to get out and they had to plow with a horse. They had to get out and work it out by hand and harvest it by hand and all of these things. And even in our area, even in this county, you know, once upon a time, our families, all of our families had large families. And one of the reasons why they had large families, because they needed a lot of hands to work in the fields and on the farm and all of these things. There was a lot of work that had to be done because of the largeness of it. And now it's not like that. Now, even where we lived in Idaho, you rarely seen hordes and hordes of people out there working or laboring. What you'd see is great big old combines and great big old tractors, and they'd do all the work and or most of the work, and they'd do the harvest and they'd put it right into the trucks, and the trucks would haul it, and things are technology's a whole lot farther, and so you don't need as many people as you did once upon a time to get all the work done. But what we need to keep in mind here in verse number 1 is that this is a spiritual application. Look what the Bible says, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man. It's making an application here. The kingdom of heaven, God's work, is like unto a man that is an householder which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. You can't make the modern application here. You have to go back to the way it used to be, where harvest were gotten in by hand. The Bible said the kingdom of heaven, God's work, is like a man that had a large vineyard and he had to go out and get laborers into that vineyard. Now, the physical work may have changed, but the spiritual work has not changed in thousands of years. What I mean by that, the Lord's work, God's work, getting the gospel out, it's done the same way today that the apostles did it and the early church did it, and that is one on one, one by one. And if you look over in Matthew chapter number 13, we'll not turn over there, but there's a parable about the sower and the seed, and it talks about the sower going out and sowing the seed in the field. And the Bible says in verse number 38, the Bible says the field is the world. It's still a big world we live in. There's a very large field of labor that we live in. Do you know there's more people in the world right now than there has ever been in the world, population-wise? There's a whole lot more people in the world. The field is larger now than it's ever been in any time in history. And you know what? God's work, the way God's work. Now I'm thankful for radio and TV and internet and the good that it does. And I'm glad that it can be used to get the gospel out into the world. But by and large, the work is still done just like it was done in Acts chapter number 8. Where the Spirit of God spoke to a man named Philip, and God told Philip to go down into the desert. There was one man down there in the desert that had a copy of God's Word, but he didn't know how to get saved. And the Bible says in the book of Romans, how shall they hear without a preacher? And God sent a preacher down there. God sent a soul winner down there. God sent somebody down there for one man to get the harvest in. God still does it the same way. And so it's still going to take laborers. Oh, we'd like to hire it out. We'd like to think that there's some modern way to get God's work done. But I'll tell you, it's still done the same way. The field is larger than it's ever been before. And God still needs laborers to go into His harvest, even in the lateness of the hour, because of the largeness of the labor. There's still a lot of work to be done. Is everybody saved? No way. Is the majority of people saved? No way. Is there still a lot of people that needs to be saved? Yes, sir. All around the world, in every country, in every nation, in every holler, in every state, in every province, in every little nook and cranny, I mean in every large city, everywhere you go, the field is large. I can never go to where there's a large population of people that I do not think to myself. And it bothers me. I mean, some people, they like to go ball games and all like that. I just have a real hard time enjoying getting in a large crowd. But I think it's good for us every once in a while to do that, to just get in a place where we look around and ask ourselves the question, I wonder how many of these people are saved. I wonder if the rapture took place, if most people would even notice that some people were gone. There's a lot of work yet to be done. There's a lot of work to be done in our county. There's a lot of work to be done in our country. There's a lot of work to be done in the world. The labor is large. Why in the world would somebody go out and hire laborers in the 11th hour? It's because of the largeness of the labor. Second of all, this morning, why do we need laborers in the last hour? Because of the lack of laborers. No matter that he went out first thing in the morning, then he went out at mid-morning, then he went out right after lunch, we'd say, and he went out at 3 o'clock, and he went out at 5. I mean, he went out all day to hire laborers, it says in verse number 1, to hire laborers into his vineyard. Evidently, no matter how many times he went to hire laborers, he never got enough to get the job done. the lack of the laborer. Look in Matthew chapter number 9. You won't have to turn back very far. Let me show you something in God's Word. This has been called many times the prayer request of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we come together and we say, has anybody got an object? And we raise our hand, we've got objects. Has anybody got anything they want to mention? Sure, we've got things we want to mention. We've got people that are sick. We've got people that are in needs and got troubles and all of those things. But if you ask the Lord Jesus Christ if he had any prayer requests, here's what you'd find. Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 36, the Bible said, but when he saw the multitudes, that's what I was talking about a minute ago, all those people, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. What he's saying there, the labor's large. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. There's not enough people to work in the harvest. And then the Lord Jesus said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. The prayer request of the Lord Jesus Christ is to have laborers in the harvest, people to do the work. Years ago, I heard a missionary. He came to Forest Grove when I was pastoring over there. And he gave the statistic, and I wrote it down in my Bible. And I thought about that then, and I think about it today. I think it's probably not far off. He said, only 5% of people who claim to be Christians do the real work that Christians are supposed to be doing. Only 5% in all the people, in all the churches, all across the land, and even in the world, are doing the real work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd say that's not far off the mark, because we're living in a day and a time where many times, I know not every time, but a lot of times churches are full. And some churches even have thousands of people on the roll, but how many are really, really involved in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and getting the gospel out into all the world and preaching the gospel in all the world and being witnesses where we're at and doing something to win souls for the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, I was saved for a long, long time before I ever realized that I, as a Christian, not as a preacher, I'm telling you this morning, but that I, as a Christian, had a responsibility to also go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I was saved when I was 9 years old. But I was 19 or 20 before I ever did anything, as far as I can remember, to try to win somebody else to the Lord Jesus Christ. And our preacher, when I was over there in the Air Force in England, you know, we had a lot of young preachers in that church, and they talk about going soul winning and carrying gospel tracts and witnessing to other people, and I got interested in that. You know, I just always thought that's something the preacher done. Or people just come to church and heard the preaching and went down the altar and got saved. But in the Bible, they went two by two, and they went to houses, and they went to families, and they went to the sick, and they went and went, and we're supposed to be doing the same thing, not just the preacher, but every saved person. We've got a responsibility to lead others to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. We all have a responsibility to be telling others about the Lord Jesus and that they need to be saved by the grace of God. Boy, you can preach on a lot of things and get a whole lot of amens, but when you start preaching that you need to go out and tell somebody about Jesus, it gets awful quiet. Wonder why. Might be because we really enjoy the presence of the Lord, and we really enjoy, like last Sunday night, you know, and the Lord passed by, and man, it's good, and it was like, if you was here last Sunday night, you know what I'm talking about. It's like, I've got an uncle, and he said this one time, he said, I've never been to heaven, but I've got to peek over the edge a few times. That's what it was like. Man, it was good. The Lord passed by. And His presence and His aroma among God's people. And it was good. And that is good. But you know what? There's work to be done on Monday morning. And that person you work with, it's so hard to get along with. And I'll tell you what, it's harder to witness in Watauga County, North Carolina, than it is a whole lot of places. Because I know how it is, everybody you talk to, no matter how mean they are, no matter how much they act and live like the devil, most of them will tell you they've been saved, and it's hard. It's hard to witness to people like that, but still we have a responsibility. A lot of people have religion in this day and time, but you know what I'm talking about this morning. You and I, if we're saved by the grace of God, we have a responsibility to go into the world. There is a lack of laborers, and the Lord Jesus is still looking for somebody that'll go and tell others about Him. Do you know how to tell anybody about the Lord Jesus Christ and witness to them and share the gospel with them and what they need to know in order to be saved? I was reading a book one time, and it was talking about D.L. Moody. Great preacher in this country, went all around, had great revivals. They said that D.L. Moody in his ministry preached to millions of people and had a million people saved. Now, who counted? I don't know. But he had a great ministry and a lot of people got saved. And he was preaching in a church one time and people had come forward and there was a lady in the church who he knew was a Christian. She'd been a supporter of the meetings they were having and a member of the church there and everything. There was a lady come who needed some counseling. And Mr. Moody asked that lady, a lady that he knew, he said, "Will you come and share with this lady how to receive Christ?" And the lady looked at Mr. Moody and she said, "Well, I don't know how." And Mr. Moody said, "Oh, the starless crowns in glory." A lot of people have been saved a long time and don't even know how to tell or to lead somebody else to the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, "Preacher, how do you do that?" You need to find out. I'm not going to deal with it this morning, but I'll tell you, everybody ought to know how to share the gospel with somebody. They're a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If they die in their sins, they'll die and go to hell. Jesus died to pay their price, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You've got to confess, you've got to believe that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's a Bible word. People need to be saved. Not a member of a church, not baptized once upon a time. They need to have a time in their life where they can say, "Preacher, I got saved when I was X number of years old and I was here or I was there." You ought to know when you got saved and where you got saved. But I'll tell you, why is there a need for last minute laborers? Because of the largeness of the labor, because of the lack of the labor, and number three, because of the lateness of the labor. Look in verse number four. Matthew chapter number 20, we'll go back over there because of the, notice the lateness of the labor in verse number 4. Now, he'd already went out in verse number 1. Verse number 2, he got him some initial laborers. Verse number 3, he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said unto them, "Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you." And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle. And saith unto them, "Why stand ye here all the day idle?" If you read that real slow when you get home, you'll find out that five times he went out to get laborers. All the way until the 11th hour. Now they just worked a 12-hour day, and we whine about an 8-hour day. But they worked hard in the field for at least 12 hours in the day. The Bible says here, you can figure it out when you get home, but 11 hours, and the one that came at 11, they just worked 1 hour. And that's what it says in verse 12, "These last have wrought but 1 hour." So they worked for 12 hours there. But he went out and he got some workers in the 11th hour, in the last part of the day. You know, when God began to deal with my heart about preaching, one of the things that I could not understand is why in the lateness of the hour would God even need somebody like me? Why would God want somebody? See, that God called me to preach. It's been 20 years ago now, literally 20 years ago. And 20 years ago, I was in the country of England. I was in the United States Air Force. And I went over there in 1987, and I was scheduled to come back in January of 1991. 3-year tour over there. And on my briefcase I had at that time, you know, the little combination locks, 3 numbers on each side. Nobody even cares anything like that anymore. But I had a little combination, and my combination was 191. Because that was the month I scheduled to go back home. 01 of 1991. And so we was over there in 1987, and we was over there when the Berlin Wall fell, and we was over there when they was talking about all the European countries coming together and having one currency, and we was over there in all of those exciting times, and they was talking about technology and the ability to put a chip in a person and track them and all of those things, and we honestly never thought that we'd ever come back to the United States of America. I was sure the Lord would come while we were there. It was an exciting time. I mean, we was in a good church and people excited. I mean, the preacher, he preached all the time about the Lord coming and all of these things happening, and we was right there in the middle of it. And I remember thinking to myself, why, Lord? In the lateness of the hour, what could I ever do in the lateness of the hour? I thought at that time, you know, it's the 11th hour. This thing's just about over. But you know what? I look back on it now. Maybe God called me in the 9th hour. I just thought it was the 11th hour. Maybe He called me in the 6th hour. See, here's the thing. We don't know, do we? All we can do is look around at what's happening, and we think to ourselves, man, this thing is about over. It can't go on much longer. And I do believe that. But 20 years to God, what's that? Nothing. When you're winding up a whole thing called the whole world, I mean, it might take a year or two longer than we think. See, all this stuff's got to line up in the book of Revelation. Let me give you an example this morning of what I'm talking about. We realize today we're living in the lateness of the hour, and I've got a little article here. I'm just going to share some headlines with you. On one side it says, how to deal with usurpers and tyrants. Well, we've heard a lot about that in the last year or two, hadn't we? And on the other side, this is an article by Mr. Charlie Reese, and it says our elite rulers are tyrants. And he says the liberals often act as if the American people were entirely unjust or insane to be unhappy with the government. Is that the day and time we're living in or not? People are unhappy with the government. He said, well, let me spell it out. Here is the indictment. Just let me give you the gist of it. Number one, he said, the federal government has destroyed the constitutional republic and exceeds its authority in countless areas. Number two, he says, while meddling in areas where it has no authority, the federal government has failed in its constitutional duties. Amen. Number three, the federal government has agreed to surrender on a piecemeal basis the very independence the American Revolution fought to establish. That's where we're at. Number four, the federal government shows an increasingly fierce disregard for the rights of Americans. Amen. Number five, the federal government, whose prolific ways have infected many state and local governments, has effectively destroyed the American economy. Amen. Number six, for the first time, as several public opinion polls have revealed, large numbers of Americans are afraid of their own government. Number seven, government has adopted, contrary to the spirit of the First Amendment, a hostile attitude toward religion, the traditional family, and traditional morality. Number eight, the federal government has substituted a socialist philosophy for a free market philosophy. and a perverted form of altruism. Number 9, the federal government is practicing racial politics so that the traditional American idea of equality before the law has deteriorated into a bad joke. Number 10, the federal government has so corrupted public education from kindergarten through universities that it is now a reasonable question if an education is a benefit or a liability. Number 11, despite wasting billions in writing thousands of laws, the federal government has created a failed criminal justice system. And he goes on down and he talks about that. Now, that describes the very day and time in which we're living in. But here's the thing. I got this in 1996. See, the giveaway is that it's on a piece of paper. You know, that's not even how we communicate. I got this, believe it or not, in the mail in 1996. That's 14 years ago. And 20 years ago, and 21 years ago, and 22 years ago, the preachers were preaching the same thing. And the same thing is going on, only it's getting worse and worse, and it's going farther and farther down that same road we've been on now for years and years. It's a late hour. You know, they's talking the same thing in 1996. That was three presidents ago. The lateness of the hour. We don't know exactly where we are on God's time scale, but I do believe with all my heart we are living in what we read about in Matthew chapter number 24. In the last days there'll be wars and rumors of wars. There'll be earthquakes in divers places. There'll be pestilences. There'll be all of these things. That's been going on now. Surely, as God's people, we need to sort of look around. We're really late in the hour. 2 Timothy, the Bible talks about this. Know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. That's where we're at. The lateness of that. Why do we need laborers in the last final minutes of this thing? Because we're in the last final minutes of this thing. That's why we're living at that time. There's a lack of laborers. There's a largeness of the labor. But last of all this morning, there's the last of the laborers. One of these days, there's going to be the last. There'll be the last preacher called. There'll be the last knock on the door somewhere. There'll be the last invitation given in a church, and somebody somewhere is going to harvest that very last soul. Now, let's think about this just a few minutes this morning. Look down in verse number 7. I'm almost done. The Bible said in verse 7, they say unto him, because he went and he said in verse 6, the last part, why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. That was the last laborers that he hired. They'd been standing around all day with nothing to do. And he went to them and he said, why you been here? Nobody's hired us. He said, you go too. You go too. The last ones that he hired for the day. Now, if others have worked all day long, and in verse number 12, the Bible said, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. I can sort of see why they were upset. We've all been there and done that. You know, we've worked hard on something. We have worked and labored and worked in the heat and borne the burden of the thing. And here somebody will come along and in the very last minutes and the very last thing to be done say, you need any help? Well, yeah, thanks for asking now. After we've done all the hard work, and here you come along, and you're going to, what are you going to do? Take the trash out? What are you going to do? Get the very last, put the tools up? You know, there were others that had got the majority of the harvest in. There are others that had borne work during the hottest part of the day and did the great, great majority of the work. And for those that have done the great, great majority of the work and they've seen the majority of the harvest gotten in, it's easy to say from a human standpoint, I don't even know if the rest of that's worth going after. We've got in the majority, just forget about the rest of it. We've got plenty, don't worry about the rest of it. It's too hot, it's too late, we've worked hard and all of these things. You know how it is sometimes, and I know not everybody, even my own children, don't know what I'm talking about, but when I was little, we raised tobacco. And if anybody asked me, why'd you join the military? I joined the military to get out of working in tobacco. And then I found out there were worse things than working in tobacco. But our family raised tobacco. We didn't have a big farm of anything else, but that's the field that we worked in. That's what we did. But anyway, you know how it is on the end of the rows. They'd be big old tall. And then you get down the very end and there's that trashy stuff, short, didn't grow. I don't know what the problem is. But a lot of times going out to the very end, it isn't even worth fooling with. It isn't even worth messing with. And a lot of times we wouldn't. We'd come back after everything had been gotten in. There'd be little stuff laying around. We didn't get up. We didn't hang it in the barn. We didn't fool with it. A lot of times you get to the end of the rows and all that's left is straggly and puny and there's not very much there. And humanly speaking, you know, when you think about the effort and the work and especially have to pay somebody, why, it's not even worth the effort. But you know what? This morning we serve a God who is not content with just 99%. Boy, you ought to praise Him for that. We serve a God this morning who told a story in Luke chapter number 15 about a shepherd who had gotten in his sheep at the end of the day and he went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 and he got down the very end. He said, 99! One of them didn't come home. And he said, what man of you, if you got 99 sheep in, wouldn't go and look for that lost sheep? That's how our Lord is. You and I might look around and say, what's the use of messing with the rest of this mess in the world? People are wicked. People are ungodly. They're not worth it. They don't love God. They don't like God. They don't believe God's word. But we serve a God this morning who loves people so much, He'd say, Acts chapter 1 verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. And he said, unto the uttermost part of the earth. We serve a God who in the last days would send somebody all the way to a village in the Arctic Circle. That's where I went a month or two ago. God said there's 400 people up there in a little village in the uttermost part of the earth. And there's some of them I'd like to be brought into my harvest. Boy, I'm telling you what, this morning there's a loving God who loves people so much that He will call, He will beg, He will pray for laborers to go into His harvest till He gets everyone in. Everyone that's going to be saved, He's calling, He's sending, He's preaching. Boy, God's a loving God. God's a God who will send people out in the very last hour. You and I'd say it's not even working through. It's not even worth walking across that hot field for. But God say there's something way over there I want you to go get. There's a harvest. There's still a few. There's still a few that needs to be brought in. Boy, that's a good God this morning. That's a good God. Truth be known, we might look back one day and see how very near the end we were. We'll see one of these days that we've all just barely got in. Isn't God good? Isn't God good to not quit calling, to not quit sending preachers? And I want you to know this morning that if you are here and you've never been saved by the grace of God, now there's some people comes to the mountains of North Carolina and they think they've come to the uttermost parts of the earth. I had a preacher tell me that one time. He got up several years ago. He said, now I can say I've been to the uttermost parts of the earth. I had a preacher one time come to Forest Grove, and you know how the road is over there, windy, windy, windy. They said, how did they make the road? And they always said, well, they just let a pig loose, and wherever it ran, that's where they made the road. And as a preacher came to preach for me one time, and his daughter said, he's just a little girl at that time, and his daughter said to her daddy, the preacher said, Daddy, what if we fall off? They thought they'd fall back to Lenore. That's where he come from. Some people think this is the end of the earth. You know what? If you're here this morning and you've never been saved by the grace of God, there's a loving God that loves you so much. He's still calling. He's still pleading. He's still begging. He loves you. He died on the cross so that you could be saved. And there's a loving God that's got something for you and I to do in this last time of the very last days. I like what the Bible says in 1 John 2:28. The Bible says over there, and now little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. You know, there's going to be many, many who are ashamed when He comes. Who are ashamed before Him at His coming. There's labor to be done. There's work to be done. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse number 20, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. But you know what? We're still here. Which means there's a work to be done. I get excited when I get around where God's saving somebody. I think to myself, well, that might be the last one. I'll sit up on the edge of my seat. I'm getting ready to go. One of these days, it's going to be the last one. Well, that's what I'm looking for this morning. I hope that's what you're looking for and laboring for. Labors for the harvest. Last minute labors at you and I this morning. Are you doing what you ought to be doing? Because He's coming, whether we're working or not. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.